Blog Talk Radio.
My ears even hurt.
Oh, I can relate with you, man.
You're talking to two sick people.
That's it?
No, maybe more than two.
Right. Yeah. Make the best of it.
Yeah, we're on chat.
But anyway, we may have to end the show early.
Yeah. I think there's, I don't know, Melissa, I think. I'm not sure.
I'm here.
Okay, hello. Scott, take it, Melissa, take it away.
Yeah. Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good, hon. How are you?
Oh, Don and I are walking deaf.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. Question. How many temps are they hiring at your local?
We'll find out tomorrow. I'm not for sure, to be honest with you.
Okay. 598 truck plant. Had a meeting with people Saturday, yesterday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And they hired 255 attempts into in-progression workers, so the seniority workers.
Good.
But, well, that's great. Still got over 1,200 to go yet.
Oh, my
God.
The
question, we had almost 1,500 attempts. But the question is, are they going to put any more of those temps that have been there into the full-time temporary status? Good question.
That is a good question.
Let me get Jimmy on, you guys. Jimmy, you're on.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi, Jimmy. Did you hear what I told Melissa?
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to pan out. We got to see. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I would bring them all on board. I mean, every one of them should have been brought on board with the contract. And I feel with that. I mean, it's just bullshit. I mean, even how they ripped some of these people off on their, say, bonus money because they had got a bonus within a year or some shit, that shouldn't matter. You know, they get 12 different perks for every contract. I don't want to go there with it. It's bad. I didn't like the trump card that Roy Gamble's trying to play now. Did like the post that somebody, and I swiped it, put it on the page about that labor notes bargaining convention thing at $600 for the weekend. Did you see that? I just got that.
No.
Just seen that today. I'm going to pull it back up so I get it right here. It's expensive. I've been there, but if anybody's thinking about learning bargaining, they teach you very well down there. I'm going to pull it right up. It's the last thing I think I posted. Labor relations, contract negotiation, bargainings. It's at U of M down there. It's on I put it on We the Workers page. I swiped it off the UAW page. I can't remember who posted it. It was a weird name. But then when I copied and pasted, it came up James Paterson, BMIU. But they got many different classes. If you go to that page that's posted, I mean, you got UAW labor bargaining, preparing for bargaining, bargaining session one, two, bargaining session just briefs, pass it on resolutions. I mean, they're teaching you everything here, duties of a steward, disciplinary and in hearings, and, you know, how to take notes. preparing for arbitration, writing grievances, investigations. I mean, there's a lot of classes here, but it, like I said, it's $600. But if you look, the dates are pretty open. It looks like it goes from January 16th to February 30th, it looks like.
Wow.
Peggy, I'm getting you on.
I'm going to put that, grab that, Scott, and put it on your page. Anybody wants, they can put it out there because it's good. It teaches you a lot. I'm out of that room right now in my journey in life, I guess. But for somebody young learning, I would go say, yeah, this would be well worth your money if you're doing it
right.
For all the right reasons. If you're doing it for all the right reasons.
So are those classes just we have to pay for out of our own pocket?
If you got the backing of your union, you can write that. Well, I don't. Do they have that? What we have, Scott? I mean, this is where the bullshit goes. Talk anymore because technically, me and Couch and Scott would have that where we could turn it into what is it, our PAL fund? But I don't know if anybody's got that shit no more.
I don't know.
We do, but I would think. I would think that they would probably would want to send your district committee men, or maybe you could talk to the local union and maybe the local union let you go and pay for that. Most of these locals have at least $4 million sitting in their funds.
Yes.
Well, the only reason I'm asking is because this form looks very familiar to me, and I was going to go to a class last June. And they were going to pay for it all but my food and hotel expense.
That's usually how they do it. I want you to know that. But in the end, the way it worked out for me, I had to pay for it. But I actually can say I got that money back at the end of the year on my taxes because of that money there put me over the butt. And another thing, my accountant says, do this. Every time you eat at McDonald's while you're out, that one time every time that day, patient at McDonald's, Ronnie's, I don't give a shit if it's Henry's Bar and Burger. Put an app in there. Now you can write the whole damn trip off that way, too.
Okay.
I couldn't believe that. But yeah, that's what the accountant told me. He goes, I go to Hawaii and put apps in.
Jay says that these are classes that should be funded by the local educational community and open to all members of their local. The strike preparedness as well. Teach the members how to finance a strike without losing everything. Excellent point.
I hear you. That's why I said this is good shit. It's expensive. Like I said, it's $600, but if you look at what they're covering, there's 6 days in all those classes I mentioned, I think, are offered at different dates and different times through that floor mat.
Yeah.
Right.
Each class is 600, Jim, right?
Uh-huh.
Each class is 600, right?
No, I was told the whole shit and shebang was, the whole bang was 600. Now, you would have to verify that, but I was told the whole shebang. If you look,
okay,
the classes are on a weird day. They got them on Thursdays at 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's what got me because this is at College Town.
Okay.
Right.
You know, so they're putting it on a Thursday on you. So you would have to technically miss Thursday and Friday of work, per se, if you were coming in out of town.
Right.
But yeah, I would think that $600 would cover all six of these classes, providing you could make it on the dates they're giving them.
Right. And if you look at the dates, I'm going to try to blow them up here. It's the winter seminar calendar contract negotiations. January 15th is law and bargaining theory. January 22nd is preparing for bargaining. January 29th is bargaining session 1. February 5th is bargaining session 2. February 12th is bargaining debrief. And February 19th is impasse resolution. It says,
oops, hit your arrows right and left. You got different. I didn't realize that. That she might be right. These might be one class every day.
No, this is like every week apart.
No, I know, says, but if you hit that arrow, then all of a sudden I go to January 16th, bar concentrate activity, January 23rd, vibrations of labor law, January 30th, duty of bargaining and represent, February 5th, strikes and boycotts, February 13th, administering the agreement, February 20th, outsourcing and closures. And there's 12 classes. There might be more in this. I swiped this off. I believe it was the UAW Now page. And if you go to that page and you hit that arrow the other way, I'm trying to pull it up. I don't know why it didn't do it that way.
It says that Cap will cover this instruction. It is Wednesdays, January 15th through February 19th, 2020, from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. to be held at the University of Michigan D Fairline Center North Building, address right parking of the Fairline Center buildings. That is in Dearborn. I'm not seeing, so the course runs 6 Wednesdays over the month of January and February. Is limited to 36 to earn a certificate completion. Students must attend a minimum of 5 or 6 classes. I'm not seeing
any other
stuff.
They're 2-day classes, yeah.
Are
you seeing that now, Scott? They're 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday classes.
I'll have to figure that out. I don't know.
I'm looking at them right now. I went to the – you on your computer?
Yeah.
Go to UAW Solidarity Now. I'll put your name in there.
All right. I can do that.
That way you can do what I'm telling you about the arrow, and for some reason it won't let me copy and paste the 2 pages.
Yeah, it should.
I know, but
okay.
It won't. I can only copy. That's weird.
Yeah, I see it, but it's not giving me the dates that you're talking about. I don't know. We'll
now
post
click,
it up.
Now click. No, when you pull up it on his page, click on it.
It's
all right,
coming,
now you
coming,
see the
coming.
Arrows
oh,
right
okay.
and left. And the, now hit
from
that
page,
arrow to
yeah.
the right. But it won't
right.
do that. That's weird as shit.
Right. There's more dates. There's more stuff in there.
Good shit.
Yeah. This is on the, if I can make this bigger. These are on Thursdays. So it's on the 16th, the 23rd, the 30th, 6th, the 13th, 20th. And them classes are also from 10:30.
No.
To 1 o'clock.
Are they?
Yep. So it's, 2 days a week. It's Wednesday and Thursday from 10:30 to 1 o'clock. So on the 16th, it's concerted activity. 23rd, variations of labor law. 30th, it's duty to bargaining and represent. February 6th, strikes and boycotts. 13th, it is administrating the agreement. And February 20th, it's outsourcing and closures.
Yeah.
So it's Wednesdays and Thursdays classes. So, I mean, it might be worth, you know, if you get time off, it might be worth just your own money just to go and get it, you know. I don't know. It's a thought. But
it's going to be some of the best classes. If you're going to get into representation, this is what you're doing. This is the reason why we call it for the privilege to serve. When you go take these classes, you come back knowing something that you know you can take to the bank. You ain't got to rely on somebody else. It's awful comforting in the morning when you get up in the morning and you get in the shower and you look in the mirror and said, I did the best I could do yesterday. Man, it makes you
right.
get up and go back. And that's something that we don't have, that integrity anymore. handbills where employees would put out handbills. How people are afraid of getting their hands slapped now because you can't. So they got to do the whisper campaign, and ain't nobody can do that better than the administration caucus. Now they're trying to hide around where me and Scott live. I heard a new name coming out called the Integrity Team.
Oh, God.
Really? Yeah. Like the guys we got, guys and girls we got down in Detroit right now are full of integrity, right?
Well, that's what Rory wants to call it, I guess.
Well, like I said, they've all been around it for a long time, and all of a sudden, now you want to say something about it. Now you want to do something about it. Why?
It's their turn to get their paw in the cookie jar all the way, man. Like the South, I mean, think about it. As soon as that happened, he got 5 different pensions.
Right. Right.
I mean, come on, man. Some of this shit's got to stop, and I hope it stops now with the federal government. From what I'm feeling in my heart, I hate to say it, but I think they let it go far enough, and those assholes kept pushing the envelope that much farther. And then where they really screwed up was with that fire, where they revealed too much information that they claimed they didn't have.
Right. Right. Well, this is far from over. This whole thing is just, it's far from over.
What have you heard about Cindy, Scott? What have you heard about Cindy? Somebody told me she's no longer under investigation, but I can't find shit out.
That would be untrue. There is an active lawsuit filed on behalf of General Motors Corporation suing Fiat Chrysler I'm trying to think of the actual phrase. It's called Dennis Williams, Cindy Estrada, and the deceased Sergio Marcioni. Are named in the lawsuit. So you can't be out from under investigation if you're in an active lawsuit right now.
I got a question though, but well, didn't he pass away before she even went to Chrysler?
He might have, but she didn't have anything to do with that. She was repping General Motors at the time.
I understand that. They were bargaining both ways there.
Allegedly. Allegedly, she was bargaining for General Motors while she's allegedly talking with Dennis Williams, who was good friends with Mr. Marcioni, and they were putting, it appears, and it's alleged in this alleged lawsuit, and that it is said that they were financially, can't think of the word, they were putting them in a financial disadvantage, and that was being done on purpose. And I'm thinking to myself, Chrysler didn't get that good of a contract, and how did that affect General Motors? How? Because you also got temporary language, and I don't know.
They got rid of the gateway. Remember, they still had the doorway too, like Ford did. To, you know, become,
right.
You know, there was a percentage number. In fact, Brian was here. He would tell us that count because they had a lot lower percentage rate. I can't remember what it was, but I don't know. See how they've done, but I was just wondering like that. And how the hell, because she got to negotiate all 3 of these contracts with GM, Ford, and Chrysler like she did this time around, does that mean that Winch also now gets 3 pensions?
I don't know.
You know, this is a lot of things that's got me concerned now because I don't trust one of them stinking bitches as far as I can throw them, and I'm pretty weak. Strong on BO, but pretty weak when it comes to muscle.
Right. I don't know.
There's got to be a reason why they kept her in all three contract negotiations, even though she was under investigation. That's another one that just blows my mind right out of the water.
Right. Jay just says, wait, the IUAW is hosting these classes? The Companies for Great Contract, it's a labor that lost. I don't know if it's, I don't think it is the,
they're not hosting National Labor Relations, isn't it? But in essence, that's who pays for National Labor Relations is the, you know, the Detroit Three. I was amazed, yeah, the umpire in my hearing, you know, we got to pick, you get seven umpires and you whittle them down until you come down with one, but they're all paid for by the corporation. So, you know, think about it.
734,
right.
734, Peggy, you're also on.
Hi, Peggy.
Hey, Peg.
Hello. Hello, you guys. Happy New Year. How you doing?
Happy New Year, Peggy. How are you?
I'm doing good. Did you guys have a good New Year?
I did.
Well,
yeah.
Started out good.
Yeah, and I had a good holiday. I wish it could be better if us retirees would have gotten a Christmas bonus, you know, to treat us a little bit better.
Yeah, I'd be better if GM would pay me. They owe me 2 weeks of pay over Christmas break.
Oh, geez. Why did they pay you back? That's not right.
Well, according to them, the Commodore 64 computers they're still using were down when I returned from sick leave.
Well, you know, that's the old saying, go, they don't want to give the workers anything.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And,
right.
You know, I'm still puking over those lousy contracts that those dumb people had passed last fall. I'm still puking over that. You know, I just cannot get over how people be so stupid and naive for passing those rotten contracts.
You're right.
64 Commodore. Hmm.
You remember those computers, Don?
Yes.
The 64 Commodore? Yeah.
Those. The Commodores, they came out in the 1980s.
Oh, I know. That's why I was being a smartass. Because that was the excuse I was given. The computer system was down.
That's all right. You got to have a little laugh to it. Well, let's see those management of the old condors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
now, tell them I learned about my old Dell.
Right?
Help them out.
Yeah. Right?
But, you know, they all got this, they all, you know, they switched from the GMTKS system to this Kronos.
And right.
Kronos is an absolutely horrible program because it crashes a lot, and then management's not able to see who's punched in, who isn't punched in. They can't, when it's down, they can't see anything. You're completely blind.
Yep.
And it happens a lot. And then when they have to adjust pay or time, it's a process. And the old system, they could go and they could fix it and get it done. What happened was because they had the old system, people had the availability to fudge numbers. And instead of people double-checking those numbers, they let them go through, and that's why we wound up with Kronos.
No.
Then I'm sure it was a sweetheart deal with whoever did the programming for General Motors. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. What do you
think? I haven't been calling in much lately, but I've been at work every weekend for the last 4 or 5 weeks. So.
Yeah, I know how that goes. So, any thoughts on what we're going to look for coming up this year? Chrysler?
I'm still kind of waiting to see. Still waiting for the bottom to drop out on this merger. I just don't have a good feeling about it. I don't have a good feeling about it at all.
How do you figure the bottom is going to drop out on it?
Well, you know, I just don't think it's going to be good for a lot of us Chrysler workers. See them turning around and screwing a lot of us.
Yeah.
I think that they will use the American or the European labor market against America and vice versa. Not much has changed now, but once they got these board meetings, well, of course, they're already talking about the electric vehicles and autonomous vehicles that they plan on bringing forward.
Right. They said that this lawsuit isn't going to hurt where they're at right now either.
I don't think General Motors has a leg to stand on this lawsuit.
Yeah, but, you know, my thought on this, and it might be flawed, is General Motors isn't going to spend all this kind of money to put their legal team out there, put a lawsuit out there that's going to be frivolous or that they thought that they couldn't win, which tells me somebody
knows. They're paying their legal team anyway.
Right.
And most of the time they pay their legal team to sit around and do nothing. So at least this way their legal team's got something to do.
Right. But you wouldn't push on a venture like this unless you know you have something to gain out of it. Now, I don't know if this is to subtract away from that we've not heard one person from General Motors management person been named in any lawsuits yet.
One thing. You know, you do have a good point there. But then again, how much is it really going to cost them? And, you know, they're butthurt that, Chrysler and Peugeot just overtook them as number four automaker in the world. So this gives them a lot of free publicity. Well, it's not free, but they're paying for the legal costs, but they're going to get a lot of publicity over it. And, Peugeot may get some negative PR over it. We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how will this affect Dundee? How will this affect where you're at?
Well, rumor is we got a 2-week layoff on the north side, on the 4-cylinder side coming up. They claim that it's a part shortage. But like I said before this merger happened, you know, Peugeot makes 4-cylinder engines. The engines that we make here in Dundee, 4-cylinders are at least a decade behind in technology. So
really?
Yeah. We're the only ones that still don't have a direct injected 4-cylinder engine.
Really?
Yeah. Ford's 4-cylinder direct injection. General Motors four-cylinder, direct injected. Mitsubishi, Hyundai, direct injected.
Huh. Huh. That's interesting. So you have a standalone engine then?
Yeah.
For now.
For now.
For now. Yeah,
but it's
hearing.
I mean,
yeah.
Our numbers are good. Our as far as our metrics go, our quality, our engine pull, are some of the lowest in the industry. So our quality's good. Our production numbers, we've always met production. So that's been good, but you know that they claim that those numbers are important, but you know as well as I, and with what they've done in the past historically, those numbers don't mean jack. If they get a wild hair and they want to do something, they're going to do it regardless of what the numbers say.
Right. Well, that's usually what management does anyway.
Right.
Jay says that Peugeot made a diesel engine, and it said that it got 70 miles per gallon back in 2006, and it was sold in the Ford C-Max in Europe. Diesel four-cylinders are, I think Jimmy had probably one of the first ones that came in the cruise, right?
Actually, no. I had one in a 1980. I had one in the cruise, but the first one I had was in an 83 Chevy Chevette. It was an Isuzu diesel. That son of a bitch went 300 and some thousand miles. It would have still been running, except for my sister's girlfriend put it in reverse instead of fifth.
Oops.
Oh!
Yeah, it blew the transmission and snapped the crank and the motor. She got it. I don't know how the hell she ever got it in reverse at that speed, but she did.
Oh, wow.
Only imagine what that sounded like. Ooh.
I don't know. It busted the axle right out of the back of the car. That one was a little bit weirder. It was a station wagon, but it had a double firewall to keep that thing quiet because, I mean, it rattled and it got 60-some miles a gallon. I come back home from St. Ignace. I mean, I just got my charter license. I was happier than shit, and I had that thing to the floor getting about 91 miles a gallon. I got 91 miles an hour, but I got 73 miles a gallon doing it.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that thing ran, but you had to run it wide open to get that fuel mileage. If you didn't, it went down from there, which I never understood.
Right. Well, I don't know. Well, we were kind of talking a little bit before you came on, and our local has taken 255 temps and transitioned them to seniority workers. They'll be in progression, tier two, we're going to call them.
Yeah, I read that. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's a good start. I mean, well, it's a start. I'm not going to say it's a good start. It's a start. Consider our local has almost 1,500 temps. So that's just a small drop in the bucket. But you got to start somewhere. Melissa's going to, they're going to find out more, I guess, tomorrow at her local, and I was trying to reach out to some of the GMCH people to see if any of them were being offered, if their temps were being offered a move up, and nobody's gotten back to me yet. So,
one of my friend's sons at Ford got in, Scott, I know that.
Okay.
Well, for the Detroit area, the Detroit area for Chrysler, it's going to be a while before they bring any temps up.
Yeah, right. Until that new plant gets open. Now, is that going to be seniority worker plant, or is that going to be like, let's say, our Orion and that shitty place there in Pontiac, where they're only, you know, they literally took Tier 1 out of there, and now I think that's all of, what the hell do they consider that now? Standalone, isn't it?
Well, there's still a good amount of high seniority, 20-plus years, that will be going, that will be getting called back, and that were at the original Mack engine plant. So they'll be going into that plant. But that's not a large number. The majority of the plant will be new employees, temporary. That's one of the things that they've been offering all of the temps in the Detroit area, even the ones that we have, and we've got at least 160 new temp workers. They're offering them, for those that volunteer, to go to the new MAC, or Detroit, what are they calling it, Detroit Assembly, the Detroit Assembly Plant. For those that volunteer, they will make them permanent employees immediately. So there's quite a few that are taking it, which good for them. But from what I know, that's still at least somewhere between 6 months and a year out before that happens. I haven't heard anything about the Toledo temps, if anything's going to happen with them, because, you know, with Chrysler, it goes by the labor market that you're working in. And the ones that are out in Belvedere, they still have regular employees on layoff, so the temps that they have won't be hired in until all permanent employees have been placed first. So
right, you know,
so the attempts that we have, the ones that want to stay, they're looking at quite a wait before they'll be hired permanent for this plan.
Right.
Unless, of course, they
right.
have some special deal, which I wouldn't put past them, but then how many other people with higher seniority, you know, higher seniority temps are going to get screwed on that one? So.
Yeah, this whole thing's still a quagmire. It really is. You're still dealing with temps, non-temps, and flex temps, and permanent temps, and part-time temps, and now we have more Tier 2 people. And, you know, how's that paper dressing going to work on them? There's a lot. There's still a lot there, and it's a mess.
Yeah.
Everybody thought this contract was all about the temps and a path to full-time, you know. And I don't think it was. I think this whole thing was a smoke show. And they're going to do, like I said, up front on this, they're going to do this. They're going to hire a few people to do this to show that they're doing something with it. And I don't think it's going to go very far.
You know, Scott, look at the damn signature on the Chrysler agreement with Cindy Estrada. It's dated June, for Christ's sakes. They had this shit done before GM went out on strike. I mean, it's dated early June that they agreed to this. Think about that, people. They let the GM workers go out, get pissed off, stomp down. People's lives get ruined. People get killed. People lost a lot of shit for a little movie thing that they wanted to play out, that they were honky-dory guns. Now, look at the bonuses they got, all the money they got. People went back to work. I got friends with 30 years saying, I can't believe we went out on strike for that shit. Yeah, you did.
Yep.
But you know what? You voted for it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, yep.
All my buddies, well, I didn't even go vote. Well, you voted for it. If you didn't go vote for it, vote no, you might as well have voted yes. I'm not saying it was an automatic yes vote, but trust me, all their foot soldiers go vote, people, so our votes got to count.
Right. Right. I agree. It's sad. It is.
I can't understand that. I mean, I understand why people don't vote in political elections. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. I do not understand how you cannot participate in a vote that directly affects your life, your pay, your benefits. I mean, that's... To not vote on that,
this
is beyond.
I couldn't
fathom
that. There were some locals though that strategically had their hours and their locations where they knew that people would not make that attempt to get there and vote. I mean, that's just, we heard different locals in which they had voting times. And they were all different from a lot of locals to locals. And some people were voting at the hall, some people were voting here, and some people were voting there. I mean, one of the Ford plants, they had, almost 3,000 people that didn't vote, right?
Wow.
That's a lot of votes.
That's a lot of votes. You're right.
And some places at the Ford locals, if I remember right, they had voting times. They had them split up because there's different shifts. So one group of people might be voting on this day from this time to this time, and another group would be voting from this time to this time. And what do you expect? We had the International Executive Board. I'm so happy for all the brothers and sisters who are going to be supposedly made seniority employees. I'm hearing that there's stipulations, and I don't find the stipulation where it says if you're an in-progression worker and if you miss any time, you have to start over, and you have to do this for a year. I'm going to have to go back into the contract and look at that. That's what I was told, that they were told, that once they got this in-progression status, they had to keep that for a year to maintain that. That's not the way I thought we read that contract. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I if that's true, wow. Well, I can't say I'm surprised that our international sold them out if they go along with that. I mean, we know they have no integrity, but that just, that's quite shocking. I mean, how can you keep somebody on a probationary status for a year? That's terrible.
Well, I agree, and I haven't been able to get a hold of anybody, talk to somebody about that yet to get a clear definition on that. Side note, I don't mean to step away from this whole conversation. There was an industrial accident in our facility yesterday morning.
Yes, there was.
At the very beginning of first shift. It was a third shift team leader. I don't know the whole gist of the whole story of it. Or the account, I can't say a story, it's an account, exactly what all happened. All I know is that he fell, he tripped, and he got caught in the conveyor chain. They actually brought in the fire department, the police department, they had the ambulance there inside the plant. They had to lift the carrier up off the chain. They had to cut stuff away. It took them about 50 minutes to get him out. They had a tourniquet on his leg. He did a five-hour surgery. And I seen a video today, and I'm trying to figure how, if he broke his leg and they had to do the surgery, they had him up and walking. They had a gurney on him to help lift him up, and he was in a walker. But they had him up and walking in both his legs, and the doctors are concerned for infection because he just got done fighting cancer. So his immune system is really low. So, but he has, right now, he has not lost any legs, and the surgery was successful so far. Like I said, his wife posted a video of him walking in the hotel room, the hospital room. It wasn't a very long walk. It was like maybe 10 feet each way, and that was it, if that, with assistance. So he seems to be, at this point right now, he's doing all right. He's holding his own. So I wanted to share
Thank God.
With everybody. You know, and I don't know. I mean, Melissa, Jim, and I don't know, JJ, if you've ever seen one of these industrial conveyors in these assembly plants, but to get put in something like that, I mean, I can only imagine what the poor man was thinking, you know, what a way to go. You're getting trapped by this machine, and it's eating you up, and there's nothing you can do about it. It don't stop. It don't care.
Yeah, it sucks. I can't imagine.
Is it the style with the drag chain on the floor that pulls the line?
Yeah, it's similar to that, yes. Very similar to that.
Okay,
what he got caught in. Yeah, what he got caught in was the front of the carrier. It was actually the side supports, because there's a pit area where he was at, and there's supports that hold that that mechanism that chain rolls through. It was the supports that he got caught between the supports of the carrier itself. It wouldn't have been. They lost about three hours of production yesterday. It was a very sobering day. You know, just like this, it happened right at the beginning of the shift. I'm on day shift right now, so it was something. It was really quiet at the plant too. For as much as the things that was happening, I was surprised how quiet the plant was. So. But
these jobs, people don't realize how dangerous they are.
Agreed. The machinery we run is horrific. Underneath my machines, we had scrap conveyors. It fell 20 feet. If you fell onto that conveyor, within 15 feet, you were ripped down to 8-inch wide slice, and then somehow you would twist and get mangled going up over a hill, and you get sliced the other way. You'd actually end up in a dumpster out back waiting for a semi to hook up and haul your ass away. You ain't surviving that if you fell on our scrap conveyors.
Oh, yeah. I about went down a scrap chute. Now, it's not pretty. I don't understand how, though, on the front and the back of all these press pits, there's a short scrap chute that goes down to a conveyor. And that conveyor keeps going. It has all this cut metal on there, and that usually gets dumped somewhere onto a bigger conveyor, and there's usually a longer fall. It's like kind of falling on a whole bunch of knives and machetes, and hoping you can get out. It's not pretty, Jim. It's not pretty.
No. I only seen one thing worse than that, and that was Dorothy Graves Plant 50. Wait a minute, that was on the Queen. I think they considered the Queen actually in Plant 4, so Plant 54. It was like 28 below zero that February, I believe it was. And she was a millwright in training. She just finally got onto trades.
up on the roof to close the, all the plants have these explosion vents on the roof where if there's an explosion, it lets the pressure out so the building doesn't blow up. Well, they had found out when it got really cold, if they forced them down, the plant would stay warmer. And joking around, the one guy told her to step out on the wrong side, and she did. She fell right into a meat grinder. I can honestly say they found nothing of her but one shoe.
Oh my God.
And there was a plaque on that building from that about that point on, even through AAM area and even after the closing until I believe every plant on the north side of Holbrook has now been leveled. As far as I know, plant 3 and plant 6 is the only two buildings left. The credit union's they did like a babysitter thing and they gave the union all away. So I don't know what the hell's there now, to be honest with you, other than they do lease out plant 3 and plant 6 to other companies. What the hell's in there, I don't know. But those buildings were air conditioned.
Right.
And there is a forge back there, you know, Scott, and nobody's talked about that forge. I don't know if that forge is still there. That's off St. Alban now that I think about that. That's not even on Holbrook. And, I've never been down that side of that street. There was a real neat little forge back in there about a half a mile long.
Wow.
Yep, they had their own coal plant to make their own electricity there. I actually hired in there, but I only stayed there 2 days, man. This white boy sweats. Jesus Christ. I mean, I couldn't believe 170 degrees, and I asked this old black lady. She goes, no, you got to wear long johns. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah. And you wear 5-6 pairs of long johns.
Omar, you're on.
Cheers.
Yes. Keep the heat away.
What's that?
You had to keep the heat away from it. Yeah, I had to take, when the dive sealed, I used to have to go out and pull the caps and put dynamite in each one. An electrician come around, he'd wire them up, and they would blow the charges and separate the things. But you didn't stand long because your shoes were literally melting on that hot-ass dive.
Wow.
Go ahead, Omar.
Oh, no, I'm here, man. I'm just listening to you guys shoot the shit.
Yeah.
We're over here, you know, so you can shoot the shit, too. Come on. I want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, we got about...
You guys, go ahead. I'm just still astonished that team leaders are still going up and above to try and do shit, you know, to prove something to the goddamn company when stuff like that happens. You know, this is the reason stuff like that happens is they want to try and prove something, man. But here's the thing that these guys need to know. Them fucking supervisors don't give a shit about you. The company don't give a shit about you. And anytime like that happens, something like that happens, you're just going to screw yourself. I feel bad for the brother. You know, because he shouldn't have been working there. I'm sure he knew he shouldn't have been working there. And, you know, it happens in our plant, too. A lot of these team leaders now, they want to prove something so bad that they put themselves in a position like this. You know what I'm saying? And they got to stop thinking about the company, and they got to start thinking about themselves, man. It's a fucking shame when shit like that happens. You know, I like I said, I feel bad, but... They do shit like that all the time, and I wish they wouldn't, because in the end, ain't nobody give a shit about you except you. You
You're
know?
Right.
Now this guy, who knows?
In the end, he was the one that was wrong, even though they
was working right on stage.
Go in there.
Well, here's the thing. General Motors already put out a statement. Okay, it was on Channel 7 News or Channel 2 News or some shit like that. About that, I believe it was General Motors, because it said employee injured at General Motors, Flint Assembly Plant, and the first thing it said that he was working when he should not have been working, okay? So, of course, General Motors is going to do that. Of course, management's going to do that. They're not going to say, hey,
he was working on behalf of the company. No, he was working unsafe is what they're saying. So to me, like I said, it's just these guys are they're so quick to prove something to the company that they don't understand that the company don't give a shit about them. They don't. And if this poor guy can't walk later, you know, I mean, it could affect him the rest of his life. He's going to have problems. But for what? Recognition? You're not getting extra pay, man. $1? $2? That ain't worth the shit. And I'll tell you what. He's left that place damaged. They will still get the same amount of money for that car. And production will still resume. The only thing they'll do is ramp up production to make up for that lost time.
Yep.
Can't get nothing out of it. And I'll tell you, because it's happened in our plant. Not like
yes,
that.
That's right.
Not as severe. You know, not as severe. But I've watched our own team leaders crawl up the goddamn catwalks chasing cars as they're going up the conveyor. And it's like you look at them, and they're just doing it so that they don't stop the line. And I watch members of management watch. Now, the members of management, because they're not getting hurt, aren't saying shit because they want to get their numbers and they want to keep production going, just like they do at this fucking plant. But I guarantee if it comes down to it, they're going to say he worked unsafe. If they have to fire the person, they'll have to fire a person. And these guys don't think
about
that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know?
You're 100% correct.
Yeah.
And I watch these guys.
So right.
And I see these guys do it in my plant. You know, and it's like, man, you don't have to be a fucking superhero. I was a team leader, man. And I did my shit. You know, I worked and kept my fucking line running and whatever. But I wasn't about to fuck myself up for it. I would rather stop that fucking line. There is no problem
hey,
stopping that line.
I do the same thing, too.
And it's just, I don't know, man. I'm kind of more pissed about what happened to the guy because it could have been prevented. If management did their fucking job, and I tell you, because if it happened in your plant, and I know it happens in my plant, and I've seen it happen in my plant, and I've watched management, like I said, management, watch these motherfuckers crawling up the catwalk, that if a safety, if it was just a regular employee getting up there, okay, we would get written up. We would get disciplined. We could get fired because that's a safety violation. Yet they let the team leaders do it because they don't want to stop the line. So when it's convenient for management, they'll let them do that shit. And I've witnessed them do that shit and sit here as a fucking hole. And it doesn't matter if it's a supervisor, a regular line supervisor, a business manager, area superintendent. I've watched all them assholes watch our team leaders do that shit in our own plant.
Same here. I had that happen too. Okay, I want to say something. I used to be a team leader on the line. When something like that happened,
oh,
you know, I stopped the line immediately, and I can tell you the story in one instant, okay? I used to be in quality. I was on the car start. Well, we just started production of those keyless ignition crews. That was back in 2015. Well, you know, we supposed to let the car shut off. And what I ended up doing, what I had to do, I got into a fight. And one of the supervisor from the chassis tried to, you know, let the line go. Tell me, you know, keep the line moving. I would tell them, no way. So what I did, I stopped the line. I held the line down until I got my command person over to show them we had a bad car. They would not shut off. And, you know, so I explained to them, I'm not going to let anybody get hurt only because management want to keep the line going. What I do, I keep the line stopped until they do something about it. I had done that before. When something ain't right and somebody line stop until this that problem gets corrected, until someone who is hurt or sick gets removed off that line. Yes, that's the way it should be. And they were wrong about keeping that line going when that guy got caught on the conveyor. They said, hell, they'll stop, don't cut that line, stop.
Hell, they did eventually. They did get it stopped. And
well,
the only one that's hurting
for that guy.
It is. It happens quick. It's an accident.
You know, the thing that's stupid is the thing that's stupid is that it's a fucking $65,000 piece of replaceable scrap metal. His legs aren't. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, you cannot replace a person.
So to me, I think that what they need to do is when they have safety incident reports like that in these plans, I honestly believe that people from the immediate supervisor all the way up to whoever the fuck the general foreman or whoever is in that department, they need to be disciplined because it's because of them letting the team leaders do that type of shit in order to keep their fucking numbers going. Okay, that's the reason that these accidents happen. Okay,
wait
because
a second, Omar.
We're gonna have. Hold on. It's because of them that this shit happens. And it's because you got a lot of young, impressionable people who want to prove something, okay, to these guys, and because they never think about the safety aspect of it. When I'm talking about it from the management standpoint, they don't force them to shut down the line and to work safely. I've watched the shit happen myself in my own fucking plant. And when you've got high-ranking members of management do that shit and sit here and watch you work unsafe, okay? When they literally sit here and watch you work unsafe and let you do it because you're not getting hurt, they should be held responsible. Because eventually something like this is going to happen again. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Hey, at my job, I've got to screw in the fuel neck on the diesel trucks, and that's about one out of every 25 diesel trucks.
Okay.
So for the past 2 weeks, I've had this young punk-ass group leader because my group leader's been on vacation.
Hold
so,
on, are we from Dham?
No, I'm in Fort Wayne.
Oh, okay, okay.
And the fuel necks are always twisted. So I've got to stick my left hand clear into the hole where the fuel neck is and hold it to where I can finger start the screw and then grab the torque gun to start it. Every day, this group leader comes down and ships the truck with my hand still in there.
What do you mean, ships the truck? So hold on. I'm already trying to picture you. You got your hand inside what do you call it? The canal for the fucking fuel pipe. So
correct.
I know what you're talking about. So you're walking with the line while performing that operation. So when you're going out of your footprint, instead of stopping the line so that you can complete your job, he just keeps it moving?
Yeah, the line eventually stops because I haven't finished my job. So then he comes down and puts his key in, turns the key,
and the truck keeps going. It is bullshit because they are not supposed to have – no members of management are supposed to have fucking bypass keys for any of our fucking lines. And
that's what he's been doing
policy.
The past 2 weeks.
It doesn't matter. Then guess what? You write his fucking ass up because the company is not allowed to have the company cannot have bypass keys, okay? Because then they start doing the team leader's job, which is a union employee's job. They do not have the right to do any bargaining unit job, okay? And that falls under a team leader job. Them bypass keys for them lines are only supposed to be handled by the team leader. Now, a supervisor can sit here and try to tell him to bypass it, but he cannot take that key and touch that fucking line. He cannot release that job. And anytime a supervisor does that shit, and I know, my plant fucking hates my guts. They fought to have me removed as a team leader, okay? They fought to have me removed as a team leader because the motherfuckers tried to do that shit in my plant and in my area, and they couldn't do that shit. Because that's called a critical bypass. It's called a critical bypass, okay?
Easy
so now, any. Huh? Oh, yeah.
The F-bomb.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, I forgot a little bit. Anyway, so they're not supposed to have bypass keys because they're for critical operations. So now, when they do that, you guys are supposed to take down their names, the sequence number, the CSN of that vehicle, the time it happened, what operation it was on. You're supposed to write all that shit down. And from that number on, that supervisor or that member of management is now responsible for every fucking car on the for every car on the line from here on out, because he is not supposed to be touching that. So,
well, time he's done it for the last 2 weeks, Omar, my hand's been stuck in there, and he's yanked my hand and my wrist. Well, yesterday he did it, and he drug me down the line. So once I got my hand out, I yelled at him, and I says, number one, you can put a committee call in. Number two, you're going to put a safety call in. And number three, I'm going home because I have a migraine, and I'm using my FMLA, which is designated for migraine. And he just looked at me, and he said, whatever, and turned around and walked off.
Then you better make sure that you press and write his ass up.
Oh,
I did. And you better make sure that as many times as he's done it, that you have that shit escalated by your shop committee, which they're not going to because they're probably going to be punked.
That should be as easy as a safety call.
Number. If you can't get a copy of the grievance number, get a copy of the grievance number, but immediately I would go to health and safety first and tie his hands that way. He's creating dangerous work empire. You have a right to refuse a direct order when that happens.
Right. I did get a copy of
first
both.
He has no right to put his hands on you to pull your arm out of anywhere. Because
the only way he could do that would be he'd be cutting his own dick off, because he could say, well, I had to do that because it was life-threatening. Well, you asshole, you created the threatening position.
Correct. But that ain't going to work because he's not supposed to touch that bypass. He had no right to touch that bypass. Not only is he violating the fact that they're not supposed to be bypassing anything, because remember, you guys are supposed to be creating shit to GMS quality standards, correct?
Right.
Isn't that what they press on you?
Yeah.
Work within your station, within your footprint?
Yep.
To safety standards? You're not supposed to run on that line. So the only way you'd be running is if he's sitting here cutting your shit so you keep on moving. He has no right to do that. Therefore, he has no right to put his hands on you.
Brian, you're on.
Yep. Brian, you're on.
All right.
Well, Hi, Brian.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Brian. You're in charge of your own safety.
All right, go on.
We're listening. Well, I'm just saying, you have to work in a safe environment.
Wait, somebody's by your computer.
There's a lot of feedback. Or is it just me getting echoes?
No, it's everybody.
I'm not hearing
nothing.
I mean, it's,
Everything's getting repeated twice.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hang on. Let's try this. Okay, Brian, it's your phone. I don't know why it's doing that. Call back in.
Yeah, I don't hear it no more.
I always knew he was bipolar. Did you catch that? We were getting everything verbatim.
Well, when I plan on going into work tomorrow, and I plan on filing a Doc 99 against him for...
I don't know what that is,
hostile,
but like I said, I would definitely call my
hostile
health
work environment
out there first. Yeah, but I'd call my health and safety rep because he put your life in harm's way. And that's why he had to touch you. When he touched you, now it became a civil infraction. No right do they have a right to put
No, Jim, he didn't physically touch me. He didn't touch me.
Oh.
He didn't yank
me. I misunderstood
you. I thought you
said
that.
You said he grabbed me. I thought you meant he touched you. I'm like, whoa, boy, this guy stepped over the line.
Oh, no, I would have decked his ass if that happened. When he turned the bypass key, my hand was stuck in there, and I got dragged down the line.
Yeah.
Because I was holding the fuel neck in place.
I just muted you, Omar, for a minute. You get settled. Go ahead. Jimmy,
go ahead. Somebody?
He didn't physically touch me, Jim. When he turned the bypass key, my hand was in holding the fuel neck. So when he turned it, I physically got dragged down the line.
Yeah, you know, next time you know what you're going to do? You're gonna stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah, I am.
Let's start screaming.
Bloody murder.
Start screaming because he got no right. He's got your arm wouldn't have got stuck and dragged had he not touched that bypass key.
Yep, you're right.
Wow.
And it's these young punk ass supervisors who want to prove something to the company by saying, I'm going to keep this line going. That thing that they can sit here and violate shit like that.
Yep.
Yep. You need to bring attention to that as quickly as possible by yelling. So you get attention. I agree with Jay. He says drama works on this, you know, make a commotion so everybody sees the attention, what's going on, so that they have witnesses, you know. I mean, it's possible something could happen worse than you being drugged, and we don't want that at all.
Oh, no.
So,
yeah, and that's why I went to medical and filled out an incident report.
Absolutely, and get health and safety out there, too. Get your safety rep out there.
Yep.
You don't have to work in an unsafe working condition like that.
Nope.
Yeah, the jobs are dangerous enough. We don't need management making them even more dangerous.
Hear, hear. I agree.
But you know they do because they don't want the line to stop. And it's all about numbers. They want their numbers. But you know what? Our lives are a little more important than numbers.
Exactly right. It's always been that way for years. And, you know, they only care about numbers because the dollar speaks itself. They do that to maximize the profit while they're killing off the workers. That's exactly what they're doing. And, you know, that's why they're trying to keep their line open at all costs because, you know, the company, they want to make themselves look good for the shareholders. That's why they're making these poor workers to work in a dangerous way. And that's why... Really, you know, the health and safety protocol that they nowadays no longer helps the workers. Look how many workers been killed or injured over the last few years.
Well, I agree, Peggy, and you're absolutely right on the fact that, you know, this has been going on for a long, long time. And you would think that if we would have had good union leadership, that after all of these years of the same over and over and over again, putting numbers before the members or the workers like the companies do, you would think that after over 100 years, our union leadership would have done a little bit more to combat that, but they've been selling us out for so many years. We're right, yeah, because they've been selling us out for the last three and a half decades that we're behind where we should be. And, of course, you know, with the companies paying off politicians and everything else to benefit them, the workers' voice has been slowly grounded out because of our sellout weak leadership. It's a shame.
It is a shame.
The good thing is that, you know, the members are now catching on and they're fighting back.
Finally.
They're starting to speak up. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to see Scott Poodleson's post about the meeting minutes of the International, getting a hold of some of those. And he requested all of the minutes and the special meeting minutes that they've had. And apparently he was denied the special meeting minutes. But
that's wrong.
A few weeks ago, I told you guys I was going to check with my local on those updates, on those minutes sent to the local for actions of the International. And when I went to my local president to get that information a few weeks ago, he told me that there hasn't been any update to the system that the locals get their minutes, their updates sent out on. I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, there hasn't been anything entered in there since December of 2018.
That's gross.
So for the last year, they have not been updating and following, here's the surprise, not following the Constitution by sending those minutes for action updates to the locals like they're supposed to.
What they're doing,
just
they're trying
to share
to
that.
Grab all the information. That's what they're doing.
Brian, you're on again.
Yeah.
All right. Is there any static from me?
No.
No, you sound good now.
Yeah,
all right. Has anybody heard anything about what's going on with Region 5 yet?
Dismantling? Aside from that, no.
Well, my thing is with Region 5, them dismantling Region 5, trying to split it between Regions 8 and 4. I mean, they're shifting bodies is all they're doing and shutting down a building. How is that supposed to help in the corruption and the ethics and all that?
I don't understand why.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
To me, they're trying to deceive the membership and making it look like they're making changes necessary to stop the corruption, the collusion, the nepotism, and so on and so forth. But when you look at Regions 5, them shutting down the facility just to move those bodies to other regions, or them shutting down NTC, the training center, but again, all they're doing is moving those bodies to another facility. To me, it's about deception. They're not doing anything to correct what they've done.
How much paperwork will get lost in those moves?
Let me
let me just tell you a little bit about the dismantling, the purpose of dismantling Region 5, Brian.
All right.
Because if they dismantle Region 5, they don't have to continue with bringing charges against Vance Pearson and Gary Jones.
Well, they already did that with the Articles 30, right?
They haven't brought them up on trial. You can't bring them up on trial if there's no longer a fucking region. A region. Sorry, the F-bombs, goddammit.
Okay, but
no.
Okay, so that eliminates Vance Pearson, but that don't eliminate Gary Jones.
Okay, but so it eliminates Vance Pearson or bringing a trial against him. And then now if you start eliminating regions like that, so right now they just fucking sit here and took the Article 30 away from the membership by implementing it themselves. So now they implement it, everybody stops in their tracks. So you see nobody's continued. They haven't completed it. Nobody's continued what our Constitution's guidelines say, okay? And all they got to do is say now there's no longer a region. You can't try him because there's no longer a region.
Okay. And that might be so, but my belief is because they did file that Article 30 and they put information in it that the feds were not privy to, I think we're going to have government oversight and they're going to do it for them. So it doesn't really matter what they do. Because
yeah,
I think government oversight is going to happen.
Listen, it does matter because they put this bullshit out for the media to try and make it look like they're doing something about the corruption, okay? They took it away from the membership who was actually moving on it and making progress. They now stalemated everybody, and then they're not going to have to follow through because of the dismantling of Region 5. They win all around. Nobody ever gets tried, and they'll just keep on doing that.
I disagree. The crime was committed.
The
I don't care. Well, I'm talking about the federal
law.
That's
per the Constitution.
I'm talking about the federal law. He's being charged in a federal court tomorrow.
No, I don't give a
Monday.
Shit about the federal court. We know that. I'm not talking about not bringing him up on charges that way. I'm talking about charging him under our tribunal. The feds are going to do what they're going to do.
Okay,
for our Constitution, if they eliminate Region 5, they don't have to try him.
And they're not going to. They're already letting go.
But
so
but if the feds end up reforming the leadership for us and a new leadership goes in place of them, they can later bring those individuals up on charges. So they're not safe yet.
I got a question.
So what?
Do
we just keep
stopping? Was that thing wrote up as spiritually was Region 5?
I didn't hear what you said.
That region, I know what he's saying. I think he might be when you get the Black Laws Dictionary, he might be correct that you can't go after somebody that position no longer exists. Now in our code
of ethics,
the position
doesn't exist because the region is not there, and it has nothing to do with Black Law. It's our own Constitution. So not only that, but once that region is gone, that region is dismantled, we can never bring him up on charges for what he did under that region because it no longer exists.
Okay, but this is the thing.
Left. 6 minutes.
Even though the region don't exist, he's still a union member, meaning he could still be brought up on charges as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's where we need to
read the way the Constitution's written.
You know, that's where we need to see that code of ethics that they tell us they have down there. It's got to be pretty open-ended for
minutes.
All the bullshit they've got away with.
Let me get 443 on. 443 on. Area code. You're gone.
Oh, we got about 5 minutes left in the show. And 3 minutes left, 5 minutes left, something like that. Melissa, I did post. I'm gonna send you a message. Real quick. Jay went out and found for me, and it is the safety.
Making all the racket. Please stop.
Safety and Health magazine. It's an article in there.
Okay.
I'm gonna get that to you. I'll get that to you right now, I guess. Thank you, Jay, for looking that up, and I will send that to you right now. All right, there you go. Coming your way.
Thank you, sweetheart.
All right. Yep. So, anyway, yeah, we got to follow what's going on, I guess, with these regions. I understand what Omar is saying, and as far as I'm concerned on this, what we've seen, they've already let him go. When he resigned from the UAW, if you remember, Adrian said that he's entitled under the law to get that second pension. He's pulled away from them. There's nothing else they can really do to him. He's already walked away from the UAW. Same with Jones. And I agree with you. They should be brought up on charges, even though they're not there.
And the union leadership, Rory Gamble and them, and ask for the federal government to step in and go after his pension to pay back their members. But they don't have to if Region 5 is gone. That's why they're letting these guys walk away like that. See, because Rory Gamble is in charge of this organization, okay, and because it holds so much money and generates so much money was stolen from us, they can ask the federal government to step in and to go after their pensions for on behalf of the members. They won't do that shit because Rory Gamble.
Or we would have to take them to court ourselves. And sue them.
It would have to, yes, it would have to be a class action lawsuit, okay? But you still have to
right.
have the government get involved because they're the only ones who can do that, okay? But it's a lot easier for the international UAW to do it for us on our behalf as members, okay, than it is for the members,
right.
is
right.
my point. So if Rory Gamble really. Right. If Rory Gamble and them really gave a shit, they would already started this. Not just this ruse with, we'll implement Article 30 so that it slows them in their tracks. They can't complete what their constitution tells them. We'll shut down Region 5. Now there's no way to try him. And ta-da, our guys still leave and keep all their shit. Why? Because
and,
they're all
well,
doing the same
mention,
shit.
But not to mention, too, you also have to take into account, Omar, that what they have essentially done is taking the power away from the membership because the membership was exercising their power and they essentially just took that away or tried to take it away to try to
and if
push,
you remember
push the membership back down so that they don't realize their power because we would have won.
And what did I say and what did I say when they implemented Article 30? All they're going to do is slow us in their tracks, and you watch if this membership doesn't stop pursuing it, and that's all they have to do. And they did just sit on it. That's it. And they still won. That's why it is imperative that we continue these articles as a membership, regardless though they've already implemented on them too, okay? We continue the rest of our articles so that we get all 10 so they can't just sit on it.
30 seconds.
Next
well,
show, next Sunday.
Have a good night.
You guys have a good night, though.
Peace out.
Next time.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.